couple of things. One, you got specifically called out for yawning on this podcast.
Before we get into the fact that I yawned, I need to know how you just did what you did.
What?
You are so sleepy. You are very sleepy right now, and you just sipped into this thing.
Prove it.
Oh my word.
No, I mean, look, I pulled myself together.
It's like you just dove into a cold pool and hopped out. That's how I feel right now. I don't know what just happened.
Shot a B10.
Yeah. Like, had a giant mango slice.
Yes, exactly.
That's for nobody else but for you and I. Yeah.
Well,
you and me.
Probably Caleb would get it too, just because of his
memory. Caleb doesn't listen to this.
No, there's no way Caleb listens to this podcast.
Every time we hang out, he asks me, "Y'all still do that podcast?"
So you were unceremoniously called out for yawning on this podcast, and literally we were sent gifts, like just gifts of people like asleep trying to open their eyes, and it was like, this is Thomas on the pod.
That's me. Because we haven't shifted fully. There are just weeks where we have to record it just as dawn as it gets. Just
really, really dawny.
Ancient dawn. That's what it feels like.
Ancient and dawn.
It's just so early some mornings. And it's just, I haven't got quite all my sleeps out. They're still in.
I love that you personify them. Like they live at the house.
It's funny. So now, like, while Maddie was on summer vacation, I got up before her. But now she gets up, you know, has to get up before me. I usually get up, theoretically, I get up at the same time.
Every day.
But now that she gets up then too, it's been hard. I don't know why. I thought it'd be easier for me. And I'm like, oh, sleepy.
It is weird when you both have to wake up early and it's just like, okay, we have a routine. We've got things to do. Do we talk to each other? Do we hang out? Or are we just, is this just like when you see people at the gym early in the morning and it's just like, morning? And you like go do your thing and they do theirs.
Yeah, when you see someone at the gym at 6 a.m., there's a mutual respect that happens. Whether you're friends or not, everyone kind of gets a little head nod because it's like, we did this.
Yeah, not many people in our city did this today. Yeah,
we are the 8 people in this gymnasium, which, yeah, for me, it's like the same 2 people work out in the same space that I do in the morning, and it's, I just feel at home, you know?
Yeah, I love those people that have so much gear that, like, they know there's not going to be anybody there, so they essentially move in to the weight room. Yeah. Like, they have so much. They have clipboards. They have water bottles. They have a backpack and a fanny pack.
They have
and
their
they have so much
own
stuff.
Yoga mat. They have
their own Bluetooth
weights
speaker.
That they attach. Right. Yeah, there's, like, all... I mean, like, that happens at the National Fitness Center in Oak Ridge at 6 a.m.
Yeah, they need, like, a U-Haul to get in. There's, like, the reverse beeps and stuff like that.
I just picture a guy named Jeb saying, "Morning, Cheryl. Morning, Jeb. Need your U-Haul? Yep. Here's your keys." Like, every day. Returns it after lunch every day. That's so weird.
Yeah, but those people are like that. My thing about you and the yawning on this podcast is that you could very easily... It's not like we're in the kind of studio where there's, like, a... There's a really fancy mic on one of those really fancy rigs, and like on like in Parks and Rec, whenever they do, you know, Crazy Ira and those, it's not like that.
Why didn't you finish that?
It's a family show.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not like one of those situations. Literally, you're just holding the most basic stage mic that we have at the church. So you could just move it away from your face and move it back to your face after the...
Well, like, it's so funny because theoretically I have etiquette with that stuff. Like, I help lead worship. I have done radio broadcasting for the past 10 years.
You have a communications degree.
Yeah, theoretically, I know better. But there's been a few times in the history of our podcast where, like, Zach Hughes has sent me, like, a text that's like, "Just move your mic away when you breathe." And I'm like, I didn't realize I did that.
Well, I used to, like, just edit it, like, super edit it. Like, I would go in and separate the tracks and then, like, just cut your track when you weren't speaking because of the breathing. But the sit-up we're using right now, it's just so, it's so much more complex. Also, today you're going to the dentist. Are you one of those people that likes going to the dentist for a, for like just a normal kind of scraping and cleaning, or do you like hate it like poison? I feel like people are really...
I like it.
I do too.
It feels like a... I've had... I don't know that I've really ever had a cavity, so it just kind of...
Oh, wow.
It's like a high five. Once every 6 months, I'm just like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you again. Great work. Keep up the good work. It's not like a beat down. It's not like, hey, man, we got to reschedule your filling. I mean, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Wow. Yeah, I've had plenty of cavities, and I'm a very regular toothbrusher. I think it's just genetic. Like the bones that I chew food with are just not that great. But I love the scraping. Like I've always said this, if I was a really wealthy person, I would probably do the teeth scraping probably like once a week or something like that.
My aunt's a hygienist, and she used to pull me into her office like once every couple months and just clean them for me. I kind of like that. It was nice. It'd be like, honestly, it was so weird that it'd be like 10:30 at night. I'd be like, can we go clean my teeth? And she's like, sure. So weird. Like that. Now that I've said that out loud, I'm like, that is so weird. Why did I do that? She's like, take me and my best friend down there, and we'd like get our teeth cleaned.
That's a really strange scenario, dude.
You know, people ask what I was like when I was younger, like if I was wild. And I'm like, no, I was the type of guy who got my teeth cleaned at 10:30 at night for fun. I was so weird.
Oh, welcome to HN Anew. This is I can't even say it.
It's not a Bible study.
We're going to talk about some scriptures, though. We're going to look at Psalm 40. We're going to do this together. And this is a shout out to Corey McBee, because he likes it when we talk about the same scripture for some reason. We love you, Beezer. Psalm 40. We're just going to look at like half of this. For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. There's a lot going on right there.
It's a healthy amount of scripture.
Yeah, it's kind of like a steak dinner. It's not like a snack of like a bowl of goldfish crackers. This is like a healthy steak and potatoes.
I like that. It's funny. Well, the first thing that pops in my head when I read that first part this is so silly, but do you remember there's an early How I Met Your Mother episode where they're telling the story of how Barney becomes like a suit guy?
Yes.
And he like is in that chair and it like he's on that table and it flips up. They're like basically like building a robot and it's Barney. And I for some reason I picture that because there's a lot of like
and before that he was like the scraggly bohemian, like Baja and stuff like
that. Yeah, he's got a ponytail, all that stuff. But I do love the image of all the things that all the verbs used to describe what the Lord does for us. Or did for David. He turned to me. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. That's such a cool image. The direct action of the Lord doing those things for us. I think it's so interesting.
This dude.
Yeah, he really is. Like, and David's role in it was waited patiently. and cried, you know. That's wow. That's kind of what it nice. is, which is a thing I think we can all relate to. This isn't David saying like, I've been fighting so many battles, I have led thousands of people, I've all these things. He is literally just like, yeah. I'm doing the bare minimum of human life. Like,
yeah, I had amazing creative ideas or amazing ministry instincts.
Right.
There was none of that.
No, he's just, I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. And it, you know, if you heard his cry, that means he was crying. So it's like, okay, we can all relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the first thing that my brain kind of ionized to in this thing is like, after the Lord kind of does put David back together, he starts in on this thing about, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who doesn't look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. And that false gods thing is like, I don't know. I think when I was young, or when I was first really getting into scripture, I would have a really hard time just anytime the scripture would talk about idols or false gods or something like that, just because it's like that when you're growing up in America, that seems like a world away. Seems like a million miles away from our mental experience. Mm-hmm. It's like the idea of like false gods or something like that. But like, you know, it just feels like just a totally different reality. But the truth is, like, when you look at just kind of the definition of an idol or a false god being like anything that I would look to do something for me that only God can really do for me, then it's like, oh, well, my life's been littered with them. It's yeah, like, yeah, sure. I've had so many of them. I mean, it was just like, take every sports team I ever played on, every girl I ever liked or asked out, every outfit I ever like went to the Oak Ridge Mall and bought in the seventh grade, like, because I thought,
I can't even fathom that,
you know, like just everything that somebody told me I was good at. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is now who I am. This is now my definition. And it's just like, and how desperately every single one of those things, let me down, didn't pay out. You know, it's like, there's a thing that happens in a kid when you praise them for something where they're like, okay, well, like that becomes the thing then. Like, okay, well, maybe this is what I'm defined by now. I'm good at this. Okay, now this is what I'm going to do. And then you find out somebody else is better at it, you know? And then it's just like, now I'm let down again. It's just like anything that was supposed to fill me up in a way that only God can. Every, you know, it's just like, but not just like partying as a teenager and stuff like that, but like friendships and being liked and being praised and being all of those things. And that David's conclusion is like, the person who doesn't turn aside to false gods is somebody that's blessed. And both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, the word that we translate blessed is just, in the New Testament, it's the Greek word, but in the Old Testament, a Hebrew word that just means happy. And it's like, when I don't turn aside to something that's not God, that's trying to fulfill the promises of God, when I actually ask God to fulfill in me, like, who am I? What do you say about me? All that stuff. Then I find a deeper sense of happiness. And I don't say that as somebody who's like, you know, broken the tape and finished the race on any of that and like totally figured it out. But I have had glimmers and moments where I've abandoned some of those other things. Like, okay, that's not going to work anymore. I'm going to ask the Lord to fill me up in this way. And it's just like so much better. It's so much deeper. It's so much more rich, you know, it's so much more happy.
Yeah. Living life the other way is so exhausting, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how people do life without Jesus. It must be so tiring. It must be like whenever you're doing the thing you're talking about, like I like honed in on like friendships and that type of deal of like, yeah, I think that just kind of hit home with me, the idea of trying to, I don't know, fill myself up through stuff like that. It's like, golly, when that's where my time is devoted to, And that's where my mental capacities are devoted to. And that's where I'm trying to live off of. It is so exhausting. It wears me out. I think that's something I've realized the older I've gotten. One thing I thought was so interesting was the little bit in the middle that we read 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Just the idea of sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require, which would seem so obscure, I think, at the time David wrote this. You know, I think if someone read this when he wrote it, they'd be like, who's he talking about? Like, what God is he writing to? Because, right. You know, they were often sacrificing, and they were
like,
offering
all the time. They're like, wait, what else do we do?
They were giving burnt offerings. And it was so cool. It looked like David had some insight that people didn't. We just understood something, things people didn't. But then I love that he follows it up with saying, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. So it's so like the idea of the law being in his heart and that existing somehow with the knowledge of God not desiring sacrifices or burnt offerings is so, it could be such a bizarre thought, because you would think that those two things go together. Like if I'm someone who's walking and living by Jesus, by God's law, and that is what's in my heart, you would think like those two things can't exist without each other. Like that's just where my mind goes. So it's mind boggling to me that David is able to say like, your law is a good thing. The things that you are asking of us are good things. And like, that's the thing that's followed up later by Paul multiple times. Like, should we abandon the law now that we have Jesus? And he's like, no, it's a good thing. But that being said, like, that is not it though. I mean, it's not possible to be righteous by following the law. You need to stop, you Galatians, stop it, because it doesn't work. You're not going to get there. And it's so cool because it does feel like David has a little insight there that no one else of his time recognized. And I think it's so interesting because it seems like he understood things that existed at the time, and he understood the Lord in a way that other people didn't. And I think it's such a cool thing because it helps me connect the dots on the way God talks about David a few times, you know, just as someone who's, you know, pursuing him and who's after his heart. And that is such a cool thing to me. It feels like a little gift and like a little insight there. I always love it in the Old Testament when there's just a nugget, just a fat thing that's like, this God is clearly the same God. There is not a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. Something like this is so cool to me. Or when you're in the middle of reading Ezra or Chronicles or something, and all the people of Israel stop and sing about how loving the Lord is, how compassionate he is, how kind he is. And you're just like, that is awesome. That is so cool that these people who were absolute jabronis and idiots and could not get it right, and constantly are going against the will of God and doing terrible things, and like frankly getting their butts beat by other armies and getting destroyed, and like all these things are happening, are still able to stop and say, God is loving, he's compassionate. I read that last night, I think in the book of Ezra, where they were talking about how compassionate he is. And I just thought, that's not a word I've heard people describe the God of the Old Testament as. And then you're like, wait, why am I doing that? Of course it is. Of course he's that way. Of course he's always been that way. Mm-hmm. Why am I allowing myself to say like, there's two things going on here when it's not, there's one.
And I liked how you were kind of setting that up and just saying like, it feels like David has like a glimpse, or he has an insight. And this is exactly that. I mean, this is like he like slips into prophetic mode, you know, in this segment of this psalm, because what we find out later is that he's like literally speaking for the Messiah. Because you're like, you know, nobody has perfectly been righteous or like loves the law. Like, I mean, you know, it's like everybody's disobeyed it the whole time except Jesus. And what the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10 quotes Psalm 40 and says, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you've prepared for me. I've come to do your will. Like, this was which I don't even know how this works, but like that psalm was like on the newborn heart of our Lord. He was like, I'm here to do it. Like I am going to fulfill the law. I am going to be righteous. I am going to be your servant. And I'm going to present this body as to you, as like, I'm here to do your will. Let's do this thing. It's like the kickoff to the mission of the Christ. The first Christmas was him quoting this moment where David gets prophetic, you know, and Jesus is like, I'm the one that'll do it. I'm going to keep the whole thing. And then I'm going to present myself. And which is cool, because I feel like it takes us back to the beginning where you started, which is like, and as a result of that, because Jesus has fulfilled it, because Jesus has done it, we get to be the people who wait and cry. Hmm. And hey, please pull me out of the slimy pit and change my clothes and put a new song in my mouth and brush me off. And
that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I like that. I like that you just did that thing right there. That was cool.
Did you make it like the whole episode without yawning?
Yeah, I can't lie. I was pretty focused on it.
You were putting some mental energy into it.
Probably too much mental energy. Probably not enough like thinking thoughtfully about the scripture and explaining my thoughts behind it, and a lot more of don't yawn, don't yawn, don't
please
yawn.
Please don't yawn.
Yeah.
Which we need to be careful, because there's something about the brain to where like if you talk about yawning or if you say the word yawn, like you it want was to a yawn.
Hard first 4 minutes of the show, and like it's getting really hard right now.
If I yawned right now, would I just take you off the rails?
If you yawned right now, I would pass the torch to you as the yawner of this show.
The Blitz.
Yeah, you're now the Blitz. It goes out of his mouth. Blitz. And like enters.
Yes, exactly. I also love the idea of like when you're thinking about just kind of crazy teenagers and just like, you know, making like 10:30 p.m. beer runs and stuff like that with somebody's fake ID. But like your teenage reality was like, let's go get our teeth cleaned.
Yeah, let's go get them scraped. Let's go check and see if we have any cavities.
It's a wild and crazy life there.
Yeah, it was a good night for me when I was 16 on a Saturday at 8 o'clock. If my mom was like, you can take my car and go to Chick-fil-A and get a milkshake. That was my
yeah, I guess a big
that was my
night.
Treat, yeah. I was depressed in high school. I really was.
I'm sorry. That made me laugh so much.
It did. You just...
That was just such an interesting culmination.
I mean, like, just, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like... I would be like, Mom, can I take your car to Chick-fil-A? She's like, yeah, here's $5. She just knew it. She was like, you need to be with friends right now, and you're all by yourself.
You don't have any.
Yeah.
So here, come get a milkshake, and then Aunt Beth can clean the milkshake
clean
off,
your
the,
teeth.
Off
yeah.
the teeth later.
So weird. I was so weird.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We appreciate the text, even if it might be a gif making fun of Thomas.
We expect that, probably.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.